is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 180 of How Married Are You? Wow, babe.
Oh, okay. My name is Belief, this is Yvette, and we've been married
12 years.
Live in California, we got
four kids.
Relationships scary, it's very necessary. We share our love of struggles, we ask
how married are you?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you wanna put your hands up. You got the questions, we got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time.
1, 2, 3, and
it's chocolate baby story time.
All right, I guess I'll go first.
Yeah, I forgot my phone. I don't have
go
my
get
notes.
It. Oh, never mind. Okay, yeah, so your notes attached to your computer. Did you know that? I don't think so. Yeah, so this morning I was playing chess. I'm not that good at chess, but I'm decent. And I was playing against Uriah. Oh my gosh. To lose to Uriah in anything will set you back probably like a month, because he will be celebrating it every single day like it just happened. Mm-hmm. And you ever see someone have an offbeat celebration?
I've probably been that someone.
Okay. But like, so you ever see someone like win a game? They're like, yeah, I'll beat you. Right. It's like a yeah, I beat you. Clap, clap, clap. Or boom, you got played. Mm-hmm. Ryan go like this. Yeah. And he'll like click, snap, and then just it's so bad and it looks so terrible. And I'm just like, I don't want to experience this. Mm-hmm. So he almost beat me. He didn't. And then I demolished him the second game, but it was too close for comfort. So I need to start practicing or something like that, because the day I lose to that boy, the day I'm gonna be pissed off. I'm gonna probably take a day off of work. And it's not even because I love to win. It's just that like I don't like getting like rubbed in my face. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I don't like that. But
yeah.
Anyway.
I feel like I'm at a deficit because I don't have my notes. I usually write down the moments that happen with the kids. However, I will say this: my daughter, our daughter, your daughter. This girl has stubbornness, and it is like a combined pool of stubborn from her father and from me. I will admit that I contribute to this, but when you take both our stubbornness and you combine it into one little person,
I She got the stubbornness of of our ancestors who was like, we won't be slaves no more.
I'm like, wait a minute, now what's going on here?
Yeah.
You're holding out for a very long time and you are not giving up. And she's so like interesting about it too, because she'll like try to come and like sway you in a different direction. It's not even like, you know how some kids like to use googly eyes or whatever with their parents? She does it differently. And I don't know how to explain it yet, but that girl right there, she's something else, I tell you.
She didn't eat. You told her to eat and she didn't eat and she refused to eat.
Yeah.
Now see, this is where we kind of I'm a little bit confused on the parenting situation. Can you believe better?
Okay, I believe in you.
Okay, so this is where I don't really understand and why we differentiate in the parenting thing, because you would be like, yo, the punishment has to fit. Do you believe that? Like the punishment has to fit like what?
It has to address the heart issue.
Of the actual thing being done?
Yeah.
See, I don't agree with that.
So
give me an example.
So like, for example, this morning, Uzi like flipped out. Like I was in the shower and I thought everybody outside had it handled. So I was like, whatever. But then all of a sudden his cry turned into like somebody is doing something awful to me. So I'm coming out the room in my robe with my shower cap on. I'm like, what is going on? I walk into the room to discover that Uzi has his shirt on backwards.
Hold on.
What?
We were both there. Me and the nanny were there. But we were also handling it. right? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like he was by himself and we just let him scream.
Yeah, but I didn't know that because the door was shut and I didn't know what was going on. So I came in to see what the heck was going on because this was like so dramatic. Mm-hmm. And so you could tell that the poor child was super frustrated. And, you know, she was talking about, well, I'm just asking him to use his words. And then you kind of were somewhat dismissive as well. Like, boy, please, you better just put the shirt back on the right way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so this is how I would have handled the situation, right? So I would have probably gotten down on my knees at eye level with him.
Would you have moved the stuff out of the way on the floor yet? Or would you just put your knees down on Legos?
I would have found a safe space for me to kneel down at his level. Mm-hmm. I would have looked him in the eyes and I would have said, hey, I acknowledge the fact that you are frustrated right now. I'm sorry that you're frustrated. Would you like help? And then I'd give him an opportunity to use his words to say, yes, I would like help, right? Then I would coach him through, like he did it. He turned his shirt around on his own, totally fine. But then, like, I don't think that, because I dismissed myself because there's already two adults in there dealing with it, but I don't think anyone acknowledged his feelings and then tried to, like, you know, console him in his frustration. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's something that I would have done. I would have been like afterwards, I would have had a conversation about how we deal with our frustration and what might have been a better way to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Versus just like, man up, put your shirt on the right way.
I did not say man up.
You didn't say man up, but that's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Because, yeah, I don't know. That's how I would have handled it.
Well, I'm saying different situation. Like,
okay.
So I'm saying, like,
give an example.
If I say, so if Anaya is like, yo, I'm not going to eat. I'm in protest. I'm not eating. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. And we're like, okay, well, if you're not going to eat, I'm like, why is she watching TV? You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But because those two things don't correlate, you don't feel like that's sufficient.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, because you were saying, like, she shouldn't be watching TV. And I was like, well, I don't know how that has anything to do with her eating.
So I think if we, and this is just kind of where we differ, if we start to put those parameters around how, and a lot of people have been telling me that. So like, I'll be like, yo, if you don't clean your room, go ahead, we're going to do some exercises. And people are like, that is not teaching them the thing. And I'm just kind of like, whenever I do something, right, and I know I'm not supposed to do it, right, or I do something wrong, how it comes back to me, I have no control over. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, I know something may happen. I just don't know what it is. You know what I mean? So it's like, how are we to control the penalty of our infraction?
I think it's different because we are adults, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, you don't really have any control about how it's going to come back around. But for them as children, I do believe for them to make a connection between two different things, it should be somewhat relevant so that the behavior starts to shift in a positive, in what we define as a positive direction. I don't know what the consequence, like for me, the consequence, she's choosing not to eat. So the consequence is she's hungry. Mm-hmm. And then when she comes to me and she says she's hungry, then I let her know, you still have this food over here to eat. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the consequence is no longer the food is fresh or you're hungry and you're like, you don't have energy. And you know what I mean? Like, all the things.
But the game is that she watches TV until it's bedtime. And then at bedtime, she's like, okay, I'll eat. I'm hungry. Can you make me oatmeal? Can I have this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But oftentimes, you know, yeah. So I don't know. I just think I don't know. We disagree there. On that one, because like I don't feel like we get to control how, you know, the effects, you know, if you are speeding, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. you run a red light, you got to pay money, mm-hmm. right? You know what I'm saying? Like, those two things don't actually connect.
It's a law.
Yeah,
you've endangered the people on this road.
Yeah, so why not take the license away or take the, you know what I'm saying, take the car away? You know what I mean? No? I'm tripping. Maybe I'm tripping.
I see what you're saying.
I don't know.
But I just still think, yeah.
Because even like I was listening to someone who's like, yeah, man, like if you're rich, like the law really doesn't matter if it's just a fine, you know? Mm. Like it's only a law for the poor. It's only a penalty for the poor. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we got emails. You guys had a lot to say during the Ditch Your Old Family podcast or your family or your spouse. You know, some people were pretty bothered. And some people were totally understanding. And I think it's really good conversation that I think, you know, we should continue to have. Babe, did you have an email?
Yeah. All right. Hi, Glenn and Yvette. We are your biggest fans here in the state of Maine.
All right. If you're a big fan, you should be coming to the How Married Are You podcast live. You should be coming to the live. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. July 28th, 29th. Yes. It's going down. You do not have to be married. You do not have to be young. You do not have to be any of those things.
Let's sit here for a minute. You do not have to be married. You do not have to be happily married. Ooh. You do not have to be newlyweds. You do not have to be old weds, more seasoned weds. Mm-hmm. This How Married Are You live event is for a community of people, or we are cultivating a space for a community of people who are like-minded toward how they think about marriage.
Yeah, they value marriage.
They value marriage. And if you are single and you desire to be in a relationship, this is a great opportunity for you to be in the same room as other like-minded individuals who value marriage in that relationship. And so I know it's called How Married Are You? That's just because that's our brand. That's who we are. We are that married. Mm-hmm. But we are so married that we want all people to come. We want all people to like fall in love with marriage like we have. The highs, the lows, the goods, the bads, all of it.
You're scaring me right now, the way you're looking at me.
We want to have real and authentic conversations surrounding marriage and how to be ready for it, how to show up in it. And not even just that, but just how to be a better individual so that you can show up in your relationship better. Mm. And the conversations that we are going to have are going to be so dynamic and add so much value to you and your current or future relationship. And so we want, and yeah, man.
Yeah. I honestly believe that, you know, one of those things is like, man, you never know what you're going to need until you like you actually don't go through it. You know what I'm saying? So one of the things that I really loved about, you know, the decision to go to therapy, which you helped me make, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, and start my own therapy journey was that I was really able to handle or deal with my sister's passing a lot. Mm. Like like, mm. even though, like, you know, of course I grieved like crazy and I was sad, mm-hmm. And I'm still sad, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, I am able to process and reflect and think and really cry hard and know that it's okay for me to do that, you know? And even with understanding your, you know, decisions and moving and mm-hmm. going the way you went with your therapist in your deep sessions where you left for 3 weeks, you know, understanding that too, like, mm-hmm. even understanding having the realization that I needed mentorship and I was willing to do anything to get it because I knew what it was going to save me.
Yeah.
And so some of you guys may have mentors in your business. You may have mentors in your personal lives, but you don't have marriage mentors. And those are hard to come by. But mm-hmm. If you know us, you know what I'm saying? Good people, you know, if you believe we're good people, you know what I'm saying? You might find yourself around some good people at How Married Are You Live. And so it is an investment worth making. Mm-hmm. It is the first. And so you will be a part of the first group mm-hmm. To ever go through an event that we've done on our own. Mm-hmm. It's really special at a great place, the River Garden. We appreciate them for having us and allowing us to be there. And mm-hmm. it's going to be filmed. So if you do not have a virtual ticket, you can have that. And the videos will be posted later, not the day up, but later. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're going to have access to all that. So there's virtual tickets, there's in-person tickets, there's mentorship relationships that you're going to be able to develop there. And you're going to hear some personal stories about Yvette and I, our relationship, and also hear from an amazing star-studded cast of people mm-hmm. who will be able to explain what they're going through. So if you are interested, ever been interested about marriage or curious, you're going to be able to have real conversations with some real people there.
Yeah.
Make sure you watch this commercial real quick and join us.
Y'all, do you want to hang out with us and the rest of the wedding party in person? Well, let me tell you something. Now is your chance. On July 28th through the 29th, we are throwing a party. We're calling it the How Married Are You Live.
This is our introduction to retreats. We are super excited to add so much value. We've been giving free value for a long time and sharing the ups and downs and the hard parts and the best parts of marriage. This upcoming July 28th and 29th is your opportunity to get the nitty gritty on how we really got through a lot of that stuff. And so we want to invite you guys. It's going to be super fun. All right, babe, let's go ahead and get into this email.
All right. So my question is based on your episode titled Your Family or Your Spouse. My husband and I were in our mid-30s when we married, being our first marriage for the both of us, having enjoyed 6 years of marriage since. Prior to that, I had lived with my parents all my life and even though both my parents were very happy that we were getting married, my mom especially was not happy about the fact that I would eventually be moving out and into an apartment away from them. My mom had wished for us to at least be nearby, but preferably live with them. At first, after our honeymoon, we moved about 5 minutes away from my parents, mainly because of the convenience of the location where an apartment was available. After about 3 or 4 months, because of my husband's job, we found an apartment closer to his work that was 35 minutes away from my parents, much to my mom's displeasure. My dad was not bothered by this. Sometime after we moved to this new apartment, my mom sent my husband a lengthy text message describing her disapproval of how he took me away from them and how she felt the distance was the same as if we were in Siberia. In addition to this, my mom told me personally that my husband was no longer welcome in her home because of this. I was hurt by this and did not see this coming, and it felt unnecessary. Yeah. When it came time to pay a visit to my parents, I followed her accommodation by having my husband drop me off at my parents and watched him drive away because he couldn't visit with me. I blindly followed her request.
Can I just say real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, though the husband would probably want to be there, I don't think he's tripping.
You don't think the husband's tripping?
Yeah, like if he's like, you can't come in. He's kind of like, all right. That's how I would be. I'd be like, all right.
Mm-hmm. I blindly followed her request, but quickly saw how very, very wrong it was to do this. She was hurting him and making me hurt him too. What? I will tell you this was the first and last time. I told my mom that night, if you insist on not allowing him to visit, she will no longer see me either. Needless to say, my mom changed her tune at that moment. It's been about 5 years since that happened, and she has corrected her ways and gets along with him 100%. My mom has past manipulation issues that I grew up not seeing happening and or got used to receiving, but for the first time experienced it happening to someone outside of me, and it was not okay. I will close by asking in future, how do I protect myself and my spouse from further drama? And looking back, how could I or should I have been better supporting my husband at the time? Thank you for listening to my story. You both are pillars of wisdom and appreciate the wealth of insight you share. So proud to be of the wedding party, to be part of the wedding party. Much appreciation. Thank you so much. That was very generous words.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And I love when people claim their membership in the wedding party, you know?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I feel like your question about, like, how could I or should I have been better supporting my husband, I feel like you already know. Right? I feel like you know that you shouldn't have gone over to your mom's house, and that could have been a phone conversation where you told her, hey, if he's not welcome there, then I'm not welcome there. You're tripping. 35 minutes is not that far. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think last time we had this conversation and people were privy to what we were talking about, I think that these are the type of relationships that you want to protect. Like, if there's ever a question, like, obviously you choose your spouse over this type of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that could be manipulative. And I'm like, it's unfortunate that you weren't able to see it earlier, not because of any fault of yours or for your husband. It's just sad that it went unnoticed for so long. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it existed as kind of this like pre-existing illness mm-hmm. in the family that he was able to kind of expose. And that's what happens.
That is what happens.
When you get married, like, you are not able to see everything that, like, it's normal in your family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So some behaviors are just like, yeah, this is normal. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And this is what we do. And this is how we treat such and such. And this is how, you know, certain, this person right here expressed themselves. And we always do this because this is, if not, we're going to be in an argument. And I don't want to argue. And your spouse may be like, well, I don't care if you don't want to argue. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so then the conversations around your partner is like, let's normalize. I mean, you're like, let's us continue normalizing us so we can stay a part of this system and be, and I can have comfort and I can be accepted. Mm-hmm. And the exact union that you guys started is to be separate from what you mm-hmm. were, from where you both come in to start something new. Now, you guys have great relationships and a very functional, like some people are like, well, I'm still a part of my husband's village and my husband is still a part of it. We do it. We have, that's totally fine. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. But if that relationship is in any way toxic or, you know, causing someone to be like, dang, man, like, I don't really don't want to be around this. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Then that's that person's prerogative. I think what happens is some people, I'm sorry, am I talking too much? I don't know if you want to add anything.
No, I was first addressing that one question, but I was okay. going to say sorry. The exact same thing, because I feel like it's when you're a part of, what do we call it, an ecosystem? When you're a part of something and you have somebody else that you choose to marry, you know how it says iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes iron exposes, like, little snags in the iron, mm, right? Mm. Is that how it works? I don't know how that works.
I'm not a blacksmith.
Me either, but I'm making that up. But I feel like for me, specifically, I will admit that there are things that I didn't necessarily see until I married Glenn. And it was because I had already, I don't want to use the word been groomed, but like I had been nurtured. Like, that was just the...
It was norm.
It was normal. The normalcy. The normal part of what we were doing, how we did life.
And it didn't bother anybody.
And it didn't bother anybody, but it did. You know? Mm. Like, I feel like, I don't know if it's adulthood that... I don't know what it is. It's probably more so like my journey with therapy. But I will say that, like, yes, when you choose well, like, sometimes the partner can expose things that you are not alert to or aware of.
Yeah.
And that is valuable. Like the fact that she brought up the manipulation issues, and you probably didn't even realize you were being manipulated all these years. Mm-hmm. But when he, you know, like when you see it happening to somebody else, you're like, wait a minute, this has been happening to me too. I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And like that, what that feels like to another ecosystem is like, oh, we are being rejected. Mm-hmm. And so it almost makes you feel like, no, I'm not rejecting you. I'm saying that we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it was nothing wrong with it before. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so when you join a family like that, and I'm saying when you guys combine together and you come into other places, it's not up to you to like try to adopt and adapt a certain like belief that you don't believe or methods, right? I can see if those things are beneficial and I think it's up to you, but I don't necessarily believe that you're supposed to come in and not cause any problems. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not saying you're supposed to go in there looking for trouble, mm-hmm. but you don't allow things to happen that are not beneficial, not appropriate, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, I do believe that, you know, like when we got married, I didn't know anything, but I told you, I was like, no, let me tell you something right here. Them over there got this right here. And I'm trying to tell you, put you deep with game. I'm like, look, this is where we need to stay. Right? Right here. Don't go over there. Don't talk to that person. Don't say nothing. And that's kind of like,
No.
Well, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, I want it to be like this. And I'm like, look, I'm trying to tell you, I know everybody's going on. I'm trying to tell you, don't do that over
he
there.
He really did, but it was something that my stubborn behind self had to figure out for myself. I had to live it and experience it in order to understand
it. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I don't think that that's always necessary. I feel like sometimes, I don't know, just being receptive to the person that's in a lived experience. Because I feel that's another thing, babe, is like you're not normal.
I'm not normal.
Mm-mm. And so I don't think it's fair that you had that insight. You know what I'm saying? Like he was right. Glenn most definitely said, this is what's happening. This is what's up. This is what you can expect. So behave accordingly. Like, don't get your hopes too high.
Yes, and I was like, don't get your hopes too high.
I was like, no, I got this, babe. I'm going to transform their hearts toward not just you, but like not just me, but us. You know,
I can change them.
And sure enough, I did not.
Yeah, but
I could not infiltrate the. Is that the word I'm looking for?
No, I don't think so. But it wasn't so much to me that I'm like, I'm not normal, but I know when it comes to. Like my belief about marriage, mm-hmm. I'm normal. Mm-hmm. I think when it, so, cause like, I'm like, no, it's me and you, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's me and you.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal when you get married. But I know that it may take a longer time for you to feel like me because you have more ties than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that you're not normal. I just know that for where we are going, for where we are going. All right, so like when I made that commitment to you in the beginning of our relationship with our vows, right? Mm-hmm. That, it was always that and it's always that. It's always, I'm gonna serve you until I die,
mm-hmm.
100%. No matter who comes along, I'm gonna serve you until I die. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that. I was unpacking my bags when I'm like, this is where I'm planting everything. Mm-hmm. So, for you, I do feel like it was kind of like, yeah, but somebody else may need me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that is wrong. I'm just saying that I knew that you would have it would take you longer to get it or be as committed as I was. Is that accurate to say?
You knew that it would take me longer?
Longer. That's how I felt.
Mm-hmm. It definitely took me longer. Yeah, I think that is very accurate as far as my experience is concerned. Mm-hmm.
And it's not anything, I think because of you had a solid upbringing, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, around solid people,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, in a system, in a village. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like already like, I'm out of here, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, like whatever, you know, I'm out of here. You know, no matter where I was, like I was always like, yeah, I could be out of here. I could leave tomorrow, you mm-hmm. know, you know, whether I was with my dad's, or my mom's, or, you know, I got kicked out or I was staying with my grandmother or I was, but I was wilding too. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So I never, but I knew I was like, I'm putting all my eggs here. This is everything for me. And I knew that you were, even if you didn't get it, you were still worth the wait because it was still more than I had ever been given.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like even like the commitment you did give me was still more than I mm-hmm. haven't been given. So that's very like good for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know if that's a compliment or a.
It's not a slight against you. Do you feel slighted?
No, I just mean like I could have given you an inch. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just kind of sad. You know, not mm-hmm. necessarily, I didn't take offense, but it is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I think what happens is that type of stuff lies dormant until children come along.
Hmm.
Like a lot of that stuff with family, it's really easy to like kind of look past and be like, well, we only got to be there for a little bit or we only got to do that. But when children come along and them extended stays start happening, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then your holidays really start getting eaten up by multiple trips to these mm-hmm. parents' house and this parents. You kind of like, wait a minute now.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't doing all of this for this. Mm-hmm. You know, and you start to rethink it. But
But I think one thing to acknowledge is that's not everyone's experience. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, there are people out there whose families actually like come together really beautifully.
Yes.
And there are people out there who like the in-laws are just, you know, like it's just a very harmonious experience for them and healthy and harmonious.
Yeah.
Not just harmonious, because there's a difference, but healthy and harmonious. And I think that that is a beautiful thing to be able to have. And I hope that we have that for our children.
I do too.
I really do.
Do you think we're doing what we got to do to make that happen?
I think it's too soon to tell. But I think that if we continue to navigate like really good relationships with our kids, you know, show them that we're present, but also give them the independence that they sometimes desire to be able to figure things out for themselves, like in that we trust their decisions, which is, I think, something that I need to work more on. But yeah, I think that we are, I think we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're on the right track.
We're going to know when that first boyfriend or girlfriend come along.
Lord, pray for me, or Lord, help me.
I think I'm going to be a little weird too, though.
Are you?
I'm not going to be as outwardly expressive.
You think I'm going to be outwardly expressive? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, babe. I'm sorry. Come on. You don't have no poker face. You have to be really intentional about not reacting, right? Because you it's very easy to know you're not feeling it. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. Do we not? Come on. Are we not?
I got to do better. Okay, I'm going to work on it. I'm just going to have an RBF.
Oh,
I'm
my
just
gosh.
Just kidding.
No, so I...
No, my resting face is joy and love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
It is. It is joy. That's why when you're not joyful, we all know. Because you can't fake a smile. You're irritated.
Man.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, that understanding that, like, I'm going to have issues too. I might be able to hide it more, but that doesn't make it any better because I'm just going to kind of, like, follow it up and go, shh, you know. But I don't want to take things personal. Like, that's really difficult.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but, you know, it's like when an employee, like, first time I lost an employee and a person was like, yeah, I don't want to work here no more. I'm going to go do something else. I felt personally rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And my feelings are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, if we lose an employee now, it's kind of like, hey, man, I wish you the best of luck. Continue on to do amazing things. And I really do believe that. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer this young lady's question, I don't want you to beat yourself up about how you dealt with this.
Yeah. I think in the long haul, I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted your thought.
I mean, I think it's brave of you just to even go back there and your husband, because I'd have been like, man, I ain't going over there. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, actually. For him to, like, actually, like, come.
The amount of grace he has is incredible
mm-hmm.
to me.
Yeah.
And the fact that you still wanted to work on a relationship. But, you know, that's tough for your mom, too. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like.
I also wonder if they're, like, older. You know what I mean? Because older people aren't as mobile. So maybe that's why she took offense to them moving 35 minutes away. Because it's harder for her to, like, get in the car and drive.
I mean, I think we both making excuses for this lady. But
oh.
I think that she. I'm sad because. You know, what this speaks to me is that this is a woman without accountability because she's been allowed to operate this way for years and nobody checked her because everyone believes the same thing about her. And so I feel that now she's having her world rock in this older age. And though she's changed, you know, she's changed and that's great. But, you know. I wish that you maybe had a little bit more of a, you know, protection for your husband. But it is what it is. You did well.
I think moving forward, because she did ask, like, how can I avoid something like this happening in the future? I think moving forward, I feel like for me, the biggest thing that has helped with these types of decisions is acknowledging that, like, Glenn and I are on the same team.
Yeah.
And I have to do whatever it takes for our team to win before I look out for anybody else's team. You know what I mean? And I feel like when you have that winning attitude or the attitude of like, it's our team and I have to do what it takes to move us forward, it helps to avoid an interception or like, you know.
I appreciate the sports analogy.
What?
I was going to say that I like the terminology of team, but I also think, I don't think that other families or any other people are our opponents.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like we win and they lose.
But they're just a team. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what's a good way to say it. Like, it, you know, it's like, okay, you ever seen these people like in these rowing competitions where they're in boats and they're rowing, mm-hmm. right? I would say that it is like that with no finish line. Because mm-hmm. we're both rowing in a direction, you know, towards, you know, more family or life or whatever the situation is or mm-hmm. success. But we may need to go at a different speed than they go. We may need a different staff than they have. We may need a different team. We may be, you know, in different parts of the water, you know. Mm-hmm. And so in order for our boat to move forward, we have to operate in a certain way, and we have a different rhythm and different, like, rules of how our team operates. You know what I'm saying? And that may have worked for your team, and that is how you guys stay steady. But now Yvette's on a different boat. You know, Glenn's on a different boat, and we don't row that way. That's how I see it, you know? Is that helpful? No? Bad analogy?
I think we should work on that, on our analogy for that. Okay. But I think it's a working one.
Okay.
How married are you, my love?
I cooked. I be making custom meals for this woman. I'm so married, I made her some fried chicken and cross-cut potatoes and
kale.
And it was a single plate just for her. But I also left her to feed all the kids. I don't know what the kids going
to. This Negro was in the daggone kitchen, and then he brings me my plate, and he's like, well, the kids are asking what are they going to eat for dinner. And I'm like, what? What?
I'm here for you, babe.
And that's how married I am.
Okay. And? Oh, is that it?
Oh, no. You didn't even ask me how married I am. Oh,
okay. How married are you, babe?
I'm still married. All right. And
are we gonna be able to do another episode today? Because you're looking sleepy.
No, I'm not looking sleepy. I'm feeling defeated. I'm feeling deflated. What are we saying? I'm married. I'm so married that like I cleaned up the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I know that may sound like, oh yeah, I clean up the kitchen every day, but y'all.
Yeah.
I love my husband, and I absolutely love it when he cooks for me. And
he already had this problem. This is a rerun for these people. Rerun? Go ahead.
There might be some new wedding party members, but Glenn uses every single knife, every single pot. He has oil all over the stovetop. It is just crazy how messy the kitchen gets when he cleans.
That's what I get for listening to the ancestors. Next time I'll just get a recipe book.
Or just rinse a knife off and use it again. I don't know. Anyways, and that's just how married we are.